This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The second day of the Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting out here in the beautiful Custer State Park area. We're going to get on with the rest of the agenda where we left off yesterday, and we will be picking up with the 2021 pheasant harvest. And is Chad going to be joining us?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
You bet. Good morning.
Can you see my screen? We'll start off with pheasants. Just wanted to indicate and demonstrate the efforts put forth with the pheasant marketing approach and work there. Again, this is something we've published here the last couple of years, providing a pretty sound hunting forecast and what the conditions hunters might expect to experience when they get here in October or whenever they come to South Dakota. Some tips on where to hunt, how to plan your hunt. And last year was pretty important from a drop perspective, just reminding hunters to be responsible in the field and try to do their part in reducing the risk of fire, staying on roads and trails and things of that nature. You'll note within that outlook, we did hint pretty strongly towards the possible impacts of drought. We just wanted to make folks aware of those that might be coming in from a distance that we did experience a significant drought last year and just to be prepared for that. So next slide, Chris. And you can kind of go through these bullets, Chris, but overall harvest, a strong harvest of just over a million birds. I have not yet seen any other harvest estimates from other states, but my hunch would be that we likely led the nation again in the number of wild birds harvested by a state. Number of hunters increased just about 7%, and with that, a slight decline in the number of birds harvested per hunters, but still pretty strong at just over 8 birds per hunter for the season. Important stats here, harvest by month. If you remember a couple of years ago, we worked with you and we did include January as part of the pheasant hunting season. And you can see the breakdown there. Those percentages is a proportion of harvest by those respective months. Obviously, October and November is strong harvest months for us with likely 2/3 of the total harvest occurring there. But you can see in January, our statewide harvest estimate included 10% of those birds being harvested in January. So I think hunters are taking advantage of that and appreciate that additional opportunity. So next slide, Chris. Here, just a slide over the last 10 or 11 years, just some trend data there, looking at the overall total number of hunters. And then the blue line there would be non-resident hunters, followed by red there with residents. You can see over the last 5 years, our pheasant hunter numbers have remained pretty stable. Last couple of years, total numbers, or total hunters in general, I've seen a slight uptick there, a little bit of difference between resident and non-resident, but we're pretty pleased with being able to stabilize or slightly increase the number of hunters coming here. Next slide would be the pheasant harvest over that same time period. Obviously, we know the decline we've seen there after around 2012 into 2013, a little bit of bump and then a drop off there, and have seen harvest come up here over the next couple or the last previous years. So not where we were 10, 15 years ago, but still pretty strong pheasant harvest. You're around or above that million birds. That's something I think to be pretty proud of. So. Next slide, Chris, we'll hop into prairie grouse. Similar to the pheasants, we do provide a hunting outlook each year as well. We did really want to indicate the potential effect drought could have had on grouse production, reproduction, and what hunters might be able to find or expect to see in the fall when they arrived here. We do have a real great cooperative efforts with the National Grasslands, those staff up at Grand River, up in the Northwest, Buffalo Gap, and Fort Pierre National Grasslands. Our staff and their staff work together to collect wings from harvested grouse, in particular during that first week of the season. that gives us a real good outlook of what reproduction might have been for that year. We've done spent a fair amount of time on modeling various weather events, and we know precipitation and drought and how that affects nesting cover can strongly influence grouse production. So on the next slide there, you'll see, as expected, prairie grouse harvest overall did decline from 2020. Our number of hunters pursuing prairie grouse declined as well, and a slight decline there in the harvest per hunter. But overall, I mean, South Dakota is a great place to come. I mean, if you do it at the right time of the year, in a day, if you're in the right landscape, you can pursue and have an opportunity to harvest pheasants, sharp-tailed grouse, and greater prairie chicken. And there's not too many spots in the nation where upland game group hunters can have an opportunity to do that. So although numbers were down, still relatively strong, and I guess we'll see how this summer does here in regards to nesting and brooding conditions for both prairie grouse and pheasants. And the next slide there, Chris, would be just a previous 10-year trend on harvest and number of hunters. So obviously, grouse are really sensitive when it comes to drought conditions and the effects drought can have on grassland landscapes here in South Dakota. So I guess in conclusion, that's about all we wanted to show you. Again, you know, our department number one priority is habitat and access. Obviously, we know we cannot control the weather, but we can maximize the habitat we do develop and manage on our department-owned lands. We're obviously cooperatively working with numerous landowners across the state on voluntary programs to help them with their, you know, meeting their land use management objectives and incorporating practices that can benefit wildlife habitat there. And then obviously we spend a significant amount of time trying to influence ag policy, whether that's with the federal farm bill programs, CRP, and other programs that we can try to squeeze as much benefits out of conservation and wildlife habitat. So with that, Mr. Chair, that's about all we had for you, and I'd certainly try to answer any questions you might have.
All right, thank you, Chad. Questions from the commission? That was a great report. Great report. Just wanted to see the numbers go up from 2019. A lot of good results from that, so excellent. All right. Again, any other comments from the commissions? Commissioners? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bartling. I guess for staff, when do you do your count as far as trying to see where your pheasant populations are at? When does that occur?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Bartling, my apologies. We quit doing the brood survey. It would have been in 2020, I believe. So we are now going into our third year with no brood survey. We are conducting a study right now at Iowa State University that is looking at covariates that impact pheasant detection along the road. One of those things is dew conditions, humidity. In years of drought, we do know that, you know, the amount of humidity or the amount of dew does influence the amount of pheasants we see. So staff right now are working with the university, going through that research project and research design to figure out exactly what is the, you know, not necessarily figuring out a detection probability, but figuring out the covariates that are impacting detection, because it is an index. And then we could potentially use a coefficient then to adjust when we do have those drought years to have better counts into the future. So that's where things are at right now. We will not be running the brood survey this year, and this is now our third year.
All right, any other questions from the commissioners? Excellent. All right. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Next up, we'll have David Parker on the GFP Pheasants Forever Cooperative position.
Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission, and Secretary Roebling, thank you so much for having us today. Thank you for the opportunity to come in front of you and talk about a unique opportunity that we've had with Pheasants Forever. to do a cooperative position. So I wanted to give you a little bit of history, and then I'll let Isaac Fool introduce himself and kind of talk a little bit more about the program. So again, my name is David Parker. I'm the director of the Outdoor Campus here in Sioux Falls. I've been here since 2019. And in 2021, we started having conversations with Pheasants Forever to start a position to reach out and offer more R3 programming. So R3, again, is recruitment, retention, and reactivation of hunters and anglers. And our one of our main goals and pushes as an education team is to get more folks outside hunting and fishing. So to come alongside the department and be able to get folks interested in the outdoors and get folks interested in doing those things that we love to offer here in South Dakota. And one way that we've done that is partnering with Pheasants Forever. So if you look in your booklet on page 87, you'll see I've included kind of the three key pieces of this position that we have with Pheasants Forever. So it's a cooperative program. We offer some of the funding with it, and then Pheasants Forever comes with the other half of the funding. And we've got kind of a three-pronged approach to it. First part is to be able to offer more mentorship and mentored hunts. So we've seen at both campuses quite a bit of benefit from our Hunting 101 program, which is taking folks out and kind of walking them through the full hunting process. And a couple commissions ago, we also had our volunteer coordinators, Paige and Katie, come out and talk to y'all about our hunting mentorship program. So we wanted to bring in Pheasants Forever because they have quite a robust mentorship program as well. And so that's one of Isaac's approaches, is to, again, to continue to help train mentors as well as increase our mentorship program. The next piece is working with non-government organizations. So both campuses, one of our goals is to be able to work alongside our non-government organizations like Pheasants Forever and offer more programming through them. And so this partnership is just another avenue to be able to continue that synergy that we have with those organizations. And then the last one, which is kind of, we've been doing programming with veterans, but this is just another ability to be able to offer more veteran-specific programming to meet that need. That being said, I'll stop talking, and I'll let Isaac introduce himself and talk a little bit more about the program.
Thank you, David. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Rowling, thank you for the opportunity this morning to come and speak in front of you. My name is Isaac Full, new hired R3 Veterans Outreach Coordinator for the state of South Dakota with Pheasants Forever. I came on the Pheasants Forever staff at a Farm Bill Biologist capacity working out of the Gettysburg NRCS office in 2016. Previous to that, graduate from SDSU with Wildlife and Fisheries Science degree. Previous to that, I was an active duty Army soldier with one deployment to Afghanistan in 2008 and 2009. During my time in service, my outdoors capacity felt limited as I was an active duty soldier on military installations. So without having the ability or outreach from the military service to help foster and guide that continuation of my passion for the uplands, I lapsed while I was in the service, minus the one time that I came home on leave, and then came on the staff with Pheasants Forever. Just got to see the opportunities that our organization was pushing forward on the R3 efforts inside the scope of our organization, and really just attached myself to that, as that was a great passion of mine. So with the veteran side of things, really immersing myself in the community of Gettysburg, I became a Life VFW member in 2016, and our post was granted a beautiful opportunity to host a Purple Heart recipient pheasant hunt in Gettysburg. We fundraise. We do an all-inclusive five-day pheasant hunt for five gentlemen and their family, one of their family members, to come to Gettysburg. And working through the 25 members that have come out and partaken in that hunt and seeing what the uplands can do for the healing process, and just having gentlemen that were World War II and Vietnam veterans, alligator tears on my shoulder the day that I met them from this beautiful opportunity that we were providing, really just kind of drove me into approaching my frontline supervisor, Matt Morlock, at the time to push together a proposal for our organization to find a way to bring veterans into our organization's R3 scope. And that created the inception of this R3 Veterans Outreach Coordinator position with in the state of South Dakota. So as David said, your guys' Hunting 101 is a great opportunity for people that don't have or aren't aware of the opportunities. On our side of things, we have learned to hunt and learned to shoot events. It's almost mirrors the same. It mirrors almost the same thing. So just having that experience, looking forward to working with David, and then just helping to bring that relationship from a veteran to a veteran standpoint as the veteran to civilian communication and relationship building tends to be a little bit more difficult. And I mean, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience, as I don't know any of you ladies and gentlemen, I would have probably a hard time delving into my true scope of my service with any of you. Now, had you been service members, we could sit down and possibly have a couple cocktails and that floodgates are open. It's just, it's a seamless, easy transition. So hopefully with my passion for the uplands, the beautiful opportunities that we have in the state that you guys have all worked so hard on, Secretary Roebling worked so hard on, and your staff, hopefully we can help coordinate and work with David and his staff and Lacey and her staff in Rapid City here and help to facilitate and build out a better and more lucrative membership program in the state and a mentorship program in the state. So with that, I got not much left. I'm more than willing to answer any questions at whatever capacity I can for you. Thank you for the time this morning.
All right. Thank you. And first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Bees.
Commissioner Bees, with the five people that you bring into your program, what is the process they go through to participate in it?
Commissioner Bees, our VFW post, basically we have the support of our national VFW magazine and our national VFW staff. They run an ad in one of our early summer magazines, and there's a address, contact information for whoever the chairman is sitting in our VFW post capacity. They send their DD-214, their military records to that address, and then we basically cut up their names, throw them in a hat, and it's just a random five-person selection. So we've been very fortunate to have roughly a 40 to 50 applicant pool the last 3 years. Last year and the year previous, I sat as the chairperson of that committee and just worked through that. So that's to answer your question. They just send in their military records. We notify or annotate a Purple Heart recipient award on that and then throw them in a hat to select. So,
all right. Any other? Commissioner Locken.
What can we do to increase the number of people that are that hunt is available to? Is there anything we can do?
Commissioner Locken, from the side of the state agency, we're not necessarily trying to continue to build out that specific hunt in our VFW capacity. I don't represent our VFW post here this morning. I represent Pheasants Forever and the partnership that we're growing with your staff and David and his staff and Lacey and her staff. So, you know, a resonating word is partnerships and partnership building. And from my standpoint and from my supervisor's standpoint, my ability to continue to grow into other NGOs in the state that have veteran knowledge and be a center point for those NGOs to push combat wounded veterans or just veterans in general and their families to have the opportunities to reach to David's staff, Lacey's staff, or myself at whatever capacity I can help facilitate their drive to the uplands and the outdoors. That's where we're really trying to focus our energy, not necessarily building out more on our VFW hunt. So,
further questions, comments? All right, thank you, and let's hope that program takes off.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioners.
All right, next up we have Director Kirschman.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I'm going to ask you to turn to your last page in your booklet, which would be the license sales update for this month. Overall, things are looking very good again. Our numbers remain, I would say, steady, if not solid, in comparison to last year where we're at. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of specific license types for you this morning, just to talk about a few specific items that we see right now over the last month to 2 months. The top section there of the licenses is pertinent to the resident hunters and anglers. We see some strong license sales going on right there. The combination license, that very first row for you, 2022, where we are right now, is just about at 31,000, which is above where we were last year and certainly above the three-year average. So things look really good right there from a combination license standpoint. Same would hold true for those senior combination licenses as well as small game. Some of those license numbers reflecting in the small game probably still go back to the lengthening of the pheasant season and incorporating the month of January there, which we had folks participate in. But it's certainly encouraging to see those numbers where they are right now. And obviously, those numbers will increase as we get closer to fall. The one area that we did see some what I would consider decreases is on the fishing side of the residents, in particular the annual fishing license sales. We are down from last year. I think we can safely guess that a lot of that is relative to our unfriendly weather over the last month, month and a half. Things were going very well as we went through the ice fishing season, where we had good ice fishing conditions in particular. And then as we got more into spring and it seemed like our wind decided not to stop blowing almost on a daily basis, that certainly curtailed and probably runs very parallel, which Deputy Director Nedved talked about yesterday with parks reservations and some of those things. They probably run very similar path right now, and some of that, again, doing to weather conditions. But when we look over all those, besides that annual fishing, things are holding steady and looking fairly well. On the non-resident side of things, again, things look very steady to strong. Couple in particular, I just point out the spring light goose was very similar to last year, but when you look at it from a three-year average and going back to a couple of years ago, those numbers are very strong. So there's been a lot of folks coming to South Dakota to hunt light geese in the spring. Where you obviously see some real strength in license sales is in that annual fishing licenses. Those are up from last year and way up comparison to our three-year average. Again, I think we can contribute that to excellent fishing opportunities here in South Dakota, whether we're talking the Northeast, along the Missouri River, and even Western South Dakota. Our ice fishing season was phenomenal, to say the least, up in the Northeast part of the state in particular this year. And we see that in the three-day fishing and one-day fishing license sales as well. One key thing that I would point out, and as we go through the season and throughout the year, we'll try to dive into a little bit more, because remember the one change we did make was we removed the family fishing licenses on the non-resident side. And so we'll have to really dive into our angler database there and see if what we're seeing is some of those spouses, for example, buying that annual fishing license as well. Is that contributing to that, or potentially down into some of those three-day or one-day fishing licenses on the non-resident side? But regardless of the fact, those numbers are still very strong and looking very good from a license sales perspective. So things are moving along quite well with the forecast and today's weather. That's very encouraging, and we have no doubt that when we have this nicer weather, things will pick up again. At that very way bottom is the habitat stamp information, again, showing where we are today at this time compared to last year at this time. Very similar numbers, but I will tell you that these numbers are going to change substantially here in the near future as we go through the elk applications right now. When we get into the deer applications here in another month, those habitat stamp numbers will begin to increase as well, just because of the timing of applications coming in. So, Mr. Chairman, that's a quick summary of where we are with license sales. Bottom line is things look very good. We're encouraged with what we're seeing, and hopefully with Mother Nature giving us some nice weather, those numbers will increase as well. So I'll sure try to answer any questions that you may have this morning.
All right. Thank you, Director Kirschman. Any questions from the commission? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Secretary Roebling, anything you want to add currently about this meeting or anything in the future?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to recognize somebody right now, because this will be their last commission meeting with us. Ms. Rachel Comis took a job in the Parks Division as the volunteer coordinator, and we are going to miss her dearly. And I just wanted to thank her publicly for all of the great years of service, all of the things you've done, Rachel, and we couldn't do it without you. So we will be hiring on a new individual. She just accepted the job, I guess, on Tuesday. Liz Creel is her name, and we're getting her back here. I would say May 25th will be her first day, so we'll have her for the June commission meeting. But Rachel, thank you so much for everything. We're going to miss you, and I just want to give you a big round of applause. So thank you. With that, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say thank you to all the staff for the great presentations, all the great work that goes into those presentations, and all the great work that they do each and every day. It's very telling. Obviously, we see it in every meeting, the passion, the motivation, the energy, just the overall commitment to this department is second to none. And I can't thank staff enough. Continue doing an awesome job. We're going to have a great, great camping season ahead of us here. It looks like the weather's cooperating. We're going to get some moisture for the birds and the grass to grow. So all those things are looking very, very promising. So optimistic for sure. And we'll just keep plugging along. So with that, Mr. Chairman, back to you.
Sounds good. Thank you. And yes, great job, Rachel. And the amount of juggling you got to do in that particular position was amazing. And you kept all the balls in the air all the time. So again, good job and best wishes on your future success. Okay, at this time, in accordance with South Dakota Codified Law 125.2, a commission may only hold a closed session meeting when certain statutory requirements dictate so. In this particular case, the commission intends on discussing matters that discuss qualifications, competence, performance, character, or fitness of public officer or employee or prospective public officer or employee. However, any official action concerning these matters will be put on official record in our open meeting. In order to close the meeting to the public, a motion must be made and supported by the majority of the members. At this time, I move to go into an executive session pursuant to South Dakota Fied Law 125.2.1 to prepare to discuss qualifications, competence, performance, character, or fitness of a public officer, employee, or prospective public officer, employee. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. We will now move into executive session to discuss the issue and ask that all members of the department not associated with this action and all members of the public to please leave the room. Thank you. All right. Welcome back.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartling, I move we adjourn from executive session with no action taken.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, that concludes the May meeting of the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Thank you all for attending. I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.